As I mentioned recently, I'm back to my favorite theme, the multifaceted love of Jesus. And today's message, the deeply compassionate love of Jesus. There's a very special word I want to share with you. It's a Greek word, splenismai. It's translated in English as compassion, or literally, to be moved in the inward parts. It could be translated to yearn with compassion. And as esteemed Princeton theologian B.B. Warfield puts it, the word that best summarizes Jesus, our Lord, is no doubt the word compassion. He says it's the emotion most frequently attributed to him in the scriptures. Perhaps the first time we see the word compassion appear in relationship to Jesus is in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40, a man comes to Jesus, and this man has leprosy. And he says to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, when we see the word leprosy in the Bible, it is not just what we consider leprosy today, Hansen's disease. It could be that, or it could be one of several other infectious skin diseases that plagued people in that part of the world in those days. But whatever sort of disease it was, in those days, without modern medicine, it was horrific. If someone was found to be with leprosy in ancient times, this was their daily experience. From Leviticus 13:45 and 46, it says, "Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face, and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' They must live alone. They must live outside the camp." The leprous person was unclean, and anyone who touched a leprous person became unclean. The afflicted person had to be isolated because the disease was infectious. You had to protect the rest of the community. But it was a terrible thing if you happened to be the afflicted one. This man was in a perfectly horrible condition, and he was very much alone, an outcast, someone everyone ran from, everyone except Jesus. It says, Mark 1, verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, or moved in his inmost being. His inmost being, you see, it's an inside thing, a deep inside thing, this compassion of Jesus. It's not at all an outward show of compassion. We've all seen people give an outward show of compassion for this person or that person, for this cause or that cause. An outward show of compassion is very much an easy thing to do, but that's not what this is. With Jesus, face to face with this lonely, miserable, diseased man, it's a deep inward moving of the heart of Jesus, where he feels this poor man's pain. Jesus is not repulsed by his condition. He doesn't seem to mind that the leper is unclean. He doesn't care that critics may think less of him if he touches a leper, and they will criticize him for it. But Jesus has deep feeling for him, and he gives his full attention to the man that everyone else desperately wants to ignore. And Jesus must do something. When Jesus feels for someone, he's moved to do something. It says, moved with compassion. And right then, as Jesus came near him, we might expect Jesus to just speak a word and he would be healed. He could do that. He's done that at other times, but he doesn't choose to do that here. He so relates to this leper that it says he reached out his hand and touched him. He touched the untouchable. And in that touch, that healing touch, the love and compassion flowed from the heart of Jesus to the body of the man as he says, "I am willing, be clean." And it says that he was immediately cured of his leprosy. Next example, Luke 7:11. It says, Jesus went into a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. So there was a woman. What do we know of her? In just a couple of verses, we know quite a lot. First of all, she was a widow. She had already lost her husband. That's grief enough. Such a great loss. But she hadn't lost her whole family. She had a son. But now, she's lost her son, her only son. And she was in the throes of great grief. She probably felt that God had forgotten her, abandoned her. Like Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth, declared, I went out full, but I came back empty. There are times we feel all the signs pointing to us being abandoned by God, rejected by God, forgotten by God. And we feel we can identify with David as he begins Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Even Jesus himself felt this way on the cross, and he quoted this verse. That's what it looks like. That's what it feels like. As also Isaiah wrote in chapter 40, verse 27, Why do you complain, O Jacob? Why do you say, O Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Well, it was not true of Israel, and it was not true of Jesus, and it is not true of us or this poor widow, because now, listen to this, everything is about to change. It says, when the Lord saw her, her grief was not hidden from his sight. He sees it. There is one whose eye is always on the sparrow, the eye of love and compassion and ever watchfulness. His eye is even much more so on his people, his treasured possession. It says, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. It's that same word, splagnizomai. Here in the NIV, it's translated, his heart went out to her. Well, that's a beautiful way to express the meaning of that word. Jesus doesn't keep his heart to himself. It goes out. It goes out to us in our time of need. And when his heart goes out to us, his love goes out to us. His mercy and grace goes out to us. His peace and comfort go out to us. His healing goes out to us. As it says in Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And we see that here. Jesus was moved in the inward parts. He yearned with compassion for this woman's grief. And he said, don't cry. Then he went up and touched the coffin that they were carrying him on. And it says, he said, young man, I tell you, arise. And he arose. And Jesus gave him back to his mother alive. I know we would all like Jesus to raise our departed loved ones from the dead. But death is something that must come for all of us and all our loved ones. What's important is that we know how the heart of Jesus goes out to us in all of our losses. And his heart not only goes out to us, he compensates for our losses. As the hymn says, be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay from his own fullness all he takes away. He sees, he feels with deep compassion, and he does not keep his distance. He comes near the brokenhearted, and he acts. He heals, he comforts, he provides, he compensates. Next example. Matthew 15:29, Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee. And then it says, then he went up to a mountainside and sat down. And it says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. Verse 32, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I have compassion. Same word, splenismi. One Bible translation translated Jesus' words as, I am filled with tenderness over this crowd. Filled with tenderness. I like that expression of the word. He was filled with tenderness towards all those needy people. And Jesus is filled with tenderness for you today. I hope you know that. That's why he brought you here to hear this message. So Jesus had compassion on them all, and he fed every one of them. Next, in Mark chapter 6, verse 30 and following, Jesus was trying to get away by boat to a quiet place so he and his disciples could get some rest. But when they landed on the shore, it says, Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, and it says, he had compassion on them. There's that word again. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And if anyone here today feels like that, a sheep without a shepherd, well, that need not be. There is a good shepherd, and his name is Jesus. And he'll be your shepherd if you ask him to. So it says that Jesus saw the crowd. His heart went out to them. He was filled with tenderness over them. So he began teaching them many things. And afterwards, he fed them all. He saw with a deeply compassionate love, and he reacted inwardly with deeply compassionate love, and he acted outwardly with deeply compassionate love. In that deeply compassionate love, he intervened and compensated and provided and healed and taught and fed. Next example. Jesus encounters two blind men. Matthew 20:29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. Now, isn't that interesting? So often, people didn't understand what Jesus was about. They thought, well, he's too important to be bothered by these two noisy blind men. The crowd imagined the blind men to be a distraction, to keep this important person from his mission. No, they weren't the distraction. They were the mission. They were the mission. The arrogant people in the crowd telling them to shut up were the distraction, but the blind men were his mission, and fortunately, they didn't let a little bullying keep them from Jesus. It says, but they shouted all the louder. Well, if anything or anyone tries to get between you and Jesus, just shout louder. And they say, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Then it says, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. And once again, you see that same word. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. We see this pattern with Jesus. He sees a sorrow or grief or trouble or need. Then he's moved in the inward parts. He's filled with tenderness, with yearnings of compassion. His heart goes out to people, and he brings healing or comfort or encouragement, sometimes even food. Whatever is needed, his compassion drives him to provide. And we should strive to be like him in this. Now, those accounts were just preparatory for our primary text, which is the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 33 through 35. But I'm going to save that till next week.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul. Thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on. When we shall be forever with the Lord, when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last.